Europe is arming for World War III, and Germany is leading the way. History and prophecies show that a rearmed Germany will pose a deadly threat to the world. Learn what the Bible says about German rearmament next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Support for the alternative for Germany is higher than ever before.
Correspondent Evan Williams investigates the surging popularity of Germany's new right.
Now we are the party of the future.
The effort to attract a new generation.
The AfD is dominating.
Germany should take over the leadership of NATO.
Scarred by their country's Nazi past, Germans embraced pacifism after the Cold War. Defense spending collapsed to the point some soldiers were buying their own gear. But Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, combined with persistent pressure from President Donald Trump for Europe to shoulder more of its own defense, transformed the landscape. Today, Germany is racing to rearm.
Germany has always claimed to export arms responsibly, with strict and complicated rules. But that's changing.
I think it was long overdue that Germany changed its policy.
We are in an era of massive rearmament.
The German arms industry is booming, and weapons are ending up in countries all over the world.
We know the hotspots, we know the gaps, we know the stakes, and we are now ready to act.
Here's my approach to Europe. I want to see a strong Europe. I have no vision for Europe. All I want to see is a strong Europe.
Die Jahrzehnte der Pax Americana.
The decades of Pax Americana are largely over for us in Europe.
Und auch für uns,
and also for us in Germany. It no longer exists as we knew it.
So.
Europe's era of independence must be unstoppable. And we have more work to do. This week's European Council is about facing the reality of the moment. The reality of a world that has become dangerous and transactional. A world of wars. A world of predators. The reality of this world means we Europeans must defend ourselves and we must depend on ourselves. Yesterday's peace is gone. We have no time to indulge in nostalgia. What matters is how we confront today. We cannot afford to let the world views of others define us. Europe must be responsible for its own security. This is not longer an option. This is a must.
Too many believe that time is on our side. It is not. The time for action is now.
And some of us, my friends, know not only what we see when we're over there, but we know also what is prophesied. And we know what is prophesied to rise up in Europe. And we know which is the one and the only nation in Europe that is capable of dominating, and which is the economic and the industrial heart of all Europe, without which there could be no stability and strength. A human body cannot live without its heart. And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
Europe will reunite, and they will form a new empire, a new nation, political, with one currency, one military force, one government.
They are losing confidence in the United States as having a military umbrella over them to protect them. And they want their own military force to protect themselves. What they want is political union. What they want is one military force. What they want is one great world power.
There is going to be a resurrection of that old Roman Empire. Not very many people believe it, because people have gotten completely beyond really believing that the Bible means what it says. You're going to have to live and see it, and you're going to have to know that God was speaking when he said this thing is coming. Gradually, and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power, which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming, but it is developing just as prophesied in Europe. A resurrected Roman Empire. You watch it happen, my friends. Now, that's prophecy. That is the word of God. We didn't gain anything by making an ally out of Russia, now, did we? Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
Herbert Armstrong was right about Germany. His signature prophecy, it's being fulfilled right before our eyes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We have a lot to get to on today's show. Some of you might remember a program we put together a couple weeks ago where I drew attention to this Atlantic article titled The New German War Machine. And I just had to get into the subject again because since that program, we've just seen articles, stories all over the place about Germany racing. A lot of them use that exact word. They're racing to build this new war machine, and nobody seems alarmed. In fact, most commentators are encouraging it. The Trump administration here in the United States is encouraging it. We're happy about this development. This article at the Wall Street Journal, after a generation of peace, Europe tells its people to prepare for war. Well, that's an alarming message in and of itself. Prepare for war. Here in America, we're hearing a lot about everlasting peace. We're hearing all kinds of things about wars coming to an end. And yet European leaders are saying, listen, we got to brace ourselves for what's coming. We have to prepare for war. That's a pretty different mindset. And here again, it squares with what the late Herbert Armstrong was saying for decades. I mean, he died in 1986. He died 40 years ago. And those clips that you heard of him there in the cold open, they're from the 1960s, 70s, 80s. Europe's going to unite. They're going to unite politically. They're going to unite economically. They're going to have one currency. And they're going to have a European army. The military, that was the last component to develop. And now we see it happening. And when we see Germany taking the lead, which Mr. Armstrong also talked about. You heard it there in the cold open. This Wall Street Journal piece. European security officials now regularly broadcast a message nearly unimaginable a decade ago. A decade ago, you could not have imagined this. That's what the Wall Street Journal is saying. I mean, the continent needs to get ready for conflict. We need to get ready for war. This is not a message that says peace is breaking out around the world and across Europe. It's just the opposite. It says rarely a week goes by without a European government, military, or security chief making a grim speech warning the public that they're headed toward a potential war with Russia. It's a profound psychological shift for a continent that has rebuilt itself after two world wars by trumpeting a message of harmony and joint economic prosperity. You see that in a lot of these articles as well. Well, they rebuilt the continent. Actually, America had quite a lot to do with that as well. But then you also see articles about Germany just embracing pacifism since World War II. And now, all of a sudden, I mean, it has to change. Because, well, we've got the threat of Putin on the one hand, and then on the other, there's, of course, Donald Trump. And he's abandoning NATO. He's wanting out of Europe. And so we have no choice. I mean, those are the same talking points you see in all of the articles. And there's a lot more to it than that. What about Germany's history? What about even the recent history of the past century? Well, no one seems bothered by that. You know, Winston Churchill in 1932, he said, there's this push to let Germany rearm. This is just 15 years after World War I. And he's saying, people are saying they just want equal status. They just want to be on the same, you know, level playing field. And Churchill said, no, they want more than that. They want to dominate. That's been the history. And he had the courage to say the truth, to tell the truth. And you don't see very many people today with that same Churchill-like courage. Like I say, they act like World War II is ancient history. And even if it was ancient, it's not, but even if it was, there's still something to learn from history. But we're only talking about history from 80 years ago. That's not that long. In the grand scheme of things, it's not that long. This article says, Germany has pledged to spend more than $1 trillion on its military and its infrastructure over the next decade with the goal of creating Europe's largest conventional force. I mean, is that something that we should be celebrating? The largest conventional force in Europe, and it's in Germany, of all places? Another article here, this is the National Interest. I mean, the op-eds agree with this mindset that you see coming out of the heart of Europe. The National Interest says, why Europe needs a war economy. I mean, we have to set our economy up as if we're at war. That's the way they're thinking in Europe. And again, they're waiting on the Daniel 8 man. They need their strong man, their emperor. But you see the empire taking shape. You see the union politically. You see it economically. And now we're beginning to see it militarily. Everything that Herbert Armstrong prophesied for more than 50 years, that program we produced a couple weeks ago, I mean, we talked about, he was right, where the brochure where we bring so many of those signature prophecies of Herbert Armstrong together in one volume. This week, we want to draw attention to a couple of booklets. This one here, Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. It talks about Germany's Nazi past. And you get right into the history, the recent history, in chapter one of this book. But it goes back and gives you a sweeping historical look at the Holy Roman Empire throughout history, throughout the centuries. And then, of course, this classic little booklet here. Who or what is the prophetic beast? What about those prophecies in Daniel 2 or Daniel 7? What about Revelation 13? What about Revelation 17? What about the woman straddling the beast there in Revelation 17? Are we to just dismiss those prophecies? You can read in Revelation 1 that the prophecies are for the end time, the last days. They're more relevant to our time than they ever have been. There were those, think of those who just scoffed at the prophecies that Herbert Armstrong proclaimed in the 1950s, in the 1960s, in the 1970s. And he dies in 1986, and I'm sure some concluded, well, I guess it didn't happen. Now it's happening. You saw it there in the cold open. And then the Atlantic title, the new German war machine. And I guess people yawn and we go right back to sleep. It says, for 3 years, the war in Ukraine has offered a brutal reminder of an old truth. Wars are ultimately decided by production, not promises. This is the National Interest. Ammunition, air defenses, drones, spare parts, secure energy supplies, and logistics matter far more than summit declarations or alliance rhetoric. I mean, right now we're hearing a lot of rhetoric, but at the same time, the factories in Germany are beginning to switch over, or at least to produce military equipment in addition to automobiles or whatever it might be. That's happening. Happened in the lead up to World War II. And believe it or not, it had the world's blessing. Churchill was in the wilderness when he sounded the alarm about what was happening in Germany. Listen to this quote from, with the help of some artificial intelligence, but listen to this quote from Winston Churchill in 1932, clip two.
Now the demand is that Germany should be allowed to rearm. Do not delude yourselves. Do not let His Majesty's government believe. I am sure they do not believe that all that Germany is asking for is equal status. I believe the refined term now is equal qualitative status, or as an alternative, equal quantitative status by indefinitely deferred stages. That is not what Germany is seeking. All these bands of sturdy Teutonic youths marching through the streets and roads of Germany with the light of desire in their eyes to suffer for their fatherland, are not looking for status. They are looking for weapons, and when they have the weapons, believe me, they will then ask for the return of lost territories and lost colonies.
They're looking for weapons. A lot of nations on Earth today are looking for weapons. You know, even if you listen to President Trump, when he talks about all the wars that he's ended, all the peace that's breaking out, a lot of times in the same speeches, he talks about the U.S. military, how that we have the strongest military in the world and no one else is even close. How is it that we have so much talk about weapons and in the same discussion, peace? How do you wrap your mind around that? You know, I'll give another program on this eventually, but there are at least a dozen scriptures that talk about the ambassadors or the diplomats saying there's peace or talking about peace. And your Bible warns that when they do this, just know sudden destruction is coming. It's going to happen suddenly. In 1932, Churchill, he was accused of being paranoid or a warmonger or living in the past because he sounded the alarm like you just heard there. And this was just 15 years after World War I. Now you see, how much more asleep are we today with an 80-year difference and people just looking at World War II as if it's ancient history? It could never happen again. Well, that's what they thought following World War I. There could never be another world war like what we just experienced. In fact, there was, and it was far worse than the First World War. We have a trumpet, arming for World War III. That's the September issue of the Trumpet magazine. If you call our operators today, you can request a free copy, a free subscription, in fact. Tomorrow's News Today, a free one-year subscription. And you can get God's perspective on the news. Here we talked about the world arming for war. You heard it in the cold open. Germany they're sending weapons all over the world. They're sending weapons. The industry is booming, as it said there in the cold open. Everyone's arming for conflict. And then you've got European elites saying we've got to prepare for war. And you've got the op-ed pieces saying, yeah, we need a wartime economy. This is from that trumpet issue I held up there. My father writes in September, those with a basic understanding of German military history should be frightened by such statements. This is about the new German warfare that Germany is pumping billions of dollars into, a very modern and sophisticated weaponry. Says here, those with a basic understanding should be frightened. It says, Germany is indeed reinventing the nature of warfare, and Bible prophecy reveals it will suddenly start World War III. Is that something that we should scoff at, given the recent history of the past century? Nations do start wars. And in the case of this one, they've started more wars recently than other nations. It's not like they're the only one that has a powerful military or is developing one. But let's look at the history. My father says, Germany today is biblical Assyria. And as my father says in this article, Assyria has had a history of starting many wars. It's not just World Wars I and II. You look at the history, and it's happened over and over again. I want you to notice a few verses from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, first Isaiah 30 and verse 8. Notice what God tells the prophet Isaiah. I forget the exact date of this book, 700-800 BC. But here he's writing all these prophecies down. And God says to him in verse 8, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. God told Isaiah the prophet to write it down so it would be preserved for our time today. It's for the last days. Herbert Armstrong, the late Herbert Armstrong that you heard there in the cold open, I mean, he talked about how that the Bible, a third of the Bible is prophecy. It pertains to future events that that will be fulfilled. And that 90% of the prophecies are for the last days. Therefore, the end times. And like I say, here we see the signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong. It's being fulfilled. It's happening. Notice, though, verse 9, it says that this is, write it in a book, but then it continues, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the eternal, which say to the seers or the prophets, the teachers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. I mean, right now you're hearing, whether it's from religion or from the current administration in America, in D.C., I mean, you're hearing a lot of smooth things. I mean, it's smooth sailing. We're coming into a golden age. We've got the 250-year birthday celebration for our nation next year. And meanwhile, you've got other nations preparing for war. I mean, this is like a perfect storm. Here we're being lulled to sleep. We're drifting into this false sense of security. And you've got European leaders talking about, this is a world filled with war. This is a world filled with predators. And so we've got to arm ourselves. We've got to. We've got no choice. And that this would have our leaders' blessing and all the talking heads, all the commentary, they're cheering it on. This is really unbelievable to watch. And it's also, you know, it's also electrifying if you know a thing or two about Bible prophecy. This verse, verse 10, say to the prophets, see not, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Human nature just wants to be deceived. It prefers walking around in darkness, spiritually speaking. John 3 and verse 19 says this. We prefer that because our deeds are evil. We don't want to confront our sins. We don't want to repent of our many sins. And so we just want the teachers to come along and tell us everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be smooth. Everything's going to be prosperous. Everything's going to be peaceful. Notice what it says in Isaiah 10, just backing up a few chapters. Isaiah 10 here in verse 5, it says, O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. God calls the nation. This is the nation heading up the 10 kings that's prophesied in Revelation 17 and verse 12. It's prophesied in Daniel 2, the Daniel 2 image. God calls the nation heading up this seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. He calls it his rod or staff. That's a punishment. That's a punishment device. God is using it. He's using the rod for what? It says in verse 6, I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. So God sends the Assyrian-led empire as a rod of his anger against hypocritical Israel. And of course, you need to know who the end-time nations of Israel are. There's more than one. It's not just little Judah in the Middle East. Judah's one tribe. But if you know about the so-called lost 10 tribes, there are other tribes of Israel on this earth. And that's really a master key to understanding Bible prophecy. And Herbert Armstrong talks about that in his book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. But here is God using this rod to correct our nations, a rod of anger. Ezekiel 5 and verse 8 says God is against us. Why? Well, it gets back to our sins, the way that we're living. How far removed we are from God. Sin separates us from God. That's brought out in Isaiah's book as well, Isaiah 59, verse 2. Notice verse 7. Howbeit, he means not so, neither does his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. I mean, this empire, this seventh and final resurrection, it's going to destroy nations, plural. And you can prefer smooth things or deceits all that you want. But the reality is this. It's what we're reading right here in Isaiah 10, in Isaiah 30. You can read about the mind change from this emperor in Habakkuk chapter 1 as well. It's all there. Germany, so many other news items, I don't have time to get to them all. Politico, Friedrich Merz puts Germany in an unfamiliar position out front. Well, actually, they're quite familiar with the front position. But this narrative that they're creating, all of them, you know, the European elites, the media, that Germany's pacifist all of a sudden. I mean, where has there been repentance for what happened in World War II? There's other articles I have here about this growing, this strengthening alliance between Germany and little Israel in the Middle East, of all places. What? I mean, for those two to come together, given what happened 80 years ago, it's astounding to watch this play out. As I say, there's only so much time on a 30-minute broadcast, but to dig more deeply into the prophecies of God, the sure word of Bible prophecy, you've got Who or What is the Prophetic Beast by Herbert Armstrong, and then this one here, Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. Make sure that you stay tuned and you get the 800 number so you can call our operators today. And when you do, request the two booklets, but also request a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine. That's all we have time for on today's show. We appreciate you joining us for the program, and we hope to see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Who or What is the Prophetic Beast and Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. Order now.